said that Ra, in the world, in the Olam HaMase, in this world, it comes about because of the Chet Odom. We bring about the potential of Ra into the real world. The problem that we pointed out last time was that the next shlav, the next step is, fine, so there is Ra in the world, but what about the division of who gets the Ra? What about the fairness of that? That was the individual problem of Rosh HaToivloi Tzadik V'Raloi. Fine, there has to be, like, there has to be an earthquake in Armenia, for instance, but why is this person killed and why isn't that person killed? Or the other way around too, in the question of Rosh HaToivloi, why do some people get more of the pie than others? So, the problem is discussed here in the Meforshim, here in the fourth Perek of Kedushin. And let me just read to you the Mishnah that it goes on. It's the towards the end of the fourth Perek of Kedushin. Rabbi Meir Oimer, Le'oilom yilamed odom es bnoi umnois nekio vekalo. A person should teach his child a clean work. So the Meforshim say clean means things which don't have a lot to do with the stealing, but it's easy to remain honest. Vekalo, and it shouldn't be difficult. Okay, so nekio has to do with your relationship with Hashem. It should be nekio in your relationship with Hashem. And kalo means as far as your work is concerned. So what are you worried? That if you teach your child an easy meloche, so he won't make a living? Don't worry, because you can pray. So the kind of work that your son will do won't make any difference. What will make the difference is your tefillah. Because every single profession has in it poverty and wealth. Sheloy anius min ha'umanus, veloy ashirus min ha'umanus. Because poverty is not intrinsic in the work, in the profession, and wealth isn't intrinsic in the profession. Elo hakoil lefisechusoy, because everything is tolu in merit anyway. So why should you do difficult work? Do easy work if the return is going to, is that the implication? Since the return is going to be the same, what is it going to be dependent on? On your prayer and on your merit, on your tefillah and on your schus. So why should you work hard, work easy, and get the same thing in return? That's what the Mishnah says. Says the Toisves Yontef here. Vekasheli, says, he doesn't understand. The im hakoy levis lefizechusoy. Remember, it says like this: teach him an easy work, and then pray. Because anyway, everything is totally in merit. So says the Toisves Yontef. I don't understand. The im hakoy lefizechusoy im kain tfilo mai mehanile. So why should you pray? Don't pray at all. Why does the Mishnah advise the person to pray? Since at the end it comes out that Ashirus is totally the mazel, right? That's mazel mashir is the mazel that makes you rich. So why should you pray altogether? She'im zechuso kedai ena kodesh bochum ekapiyat schora. If you have this chuso, avadei the Rabbeinu Shalom won't take it away from you. V'im zechuso eino kedai. So the prayer won't work because it says in the Mishneh hakoy lefi zechuso. V'nicheli, and I found an answer. I found the Yesoid in Toisves that will answer the question. Shekhiksho, because Toisves asked that it says in the Gemara in Shabbos, Ein Mazel Yisrael, since Israel are not totally bemazel altogether. It says in Moed Koten, Bni Chayo Mezoinoi, Labis Chuset Al Yemil Se Elo Bemazel, Boni. Children and Chaye, life, and Mezoina in Parnose, all depend on mazel. So how can it depend on mazel for a toisves, since a mazel is royal? The tirtzu and toisves answer is omim hamazel mishtane alidei zechuz godl. That itself is the point, that there is mazel, but the zechuz sometimes can overweigh the mazel. Kideisa perek acholitz. Zocho moisifin loy. Zocho, if you have the zechus, so if you deserve $10,000, Hashem will give you $20,000. Upeomim sok sok toisves, but sometimes the mazel is too strong to be overweighed by the zechus. Kedamrinom betaines. Now listen to this Gemara in Taines, because this Gemara in Taines will be a soy that everybody has to work around it. Sometimes mazel won't help at all. Why? Gabi Rabbi Eliezer ben Pedos, Rabbi Eliezer ben Pedos, an Amor in Eretz Yisrael, the Omar le Nicho lo Chodach Riva Almo, he was very poor, and he asked, now why can't you make me rich? So a voice came down and he told him, fine, I can make you rich, but in order to make you rich, I have to destroy the world, start all over again, and perhaps you'll be born next time, and the mazel will be propitious for your wealth. But as it is, I can't make you wealthy. This is the Gemara in Tanis. It's an incredible Gemara, but that's what the Gemara says.
Where is this in Tanis?
The Gemara is in Tanis, Chof Hei Omed Aleph. Here. Rabbi Eliezer needs money, so the answer is sure. We can try. Now, if we can throw the dice again, it could be that if we destroy the world, we start a new world, and you'll be born again, you'll be lucky, and then, and this mamish deloshen. Listen to the words. Nicholoch de achriv almo. Are you willing, Rabbi Eliezer, that I should destroy the world? The ulai de avris beidno de mezoine? Perhaps, right? You'll be born, and if not, I'll destroy it again. Eventually, the dice will fall in your favor. That's what the Gemara says. So, from here you see that there are mazolos that will never change. With all the zechuyos in the world, because nobody can deny that Rabbi Eliezer ben Pedos has all the zechuyos which are necessary, but his mazel was so stubborn, so to speak, that his zechus won't overcome it. Right? That's what the Tosfos says. So you see that there are two types of mazels. There are flexible mazels and inflexible mazels. Okay? Therefore, if you are lucky and your mazel is a flexible one, let's say your mazel is that you are going to get only $10,000 a year, but perhaps it's a flexible mazel, so chaparain and pray, because if you pray and you happen to have been under the flexible mazel, then you'll be lucky. You'll get $20,000. Eloma, that you happen to be under an inflexible mazel, like Rabbi Eliezer ben Pedos, what have you lost by praying? Yeah, that's what Tosfos says. Yeah, it's not.
But wasn't it lefamin that the mazel is not nishtar al pizachus? So the schus really mean, the word schus really means mazel or not?
No. So according to this, that itself is a problem. So the way the Tosfos Yontef sees it, there are two different things. Mazel is something else, and that's what we're going to discuss. So what is the mazel? What is mazel? That a person has to stay poor for the rest of his life, not because he deserves it, because in as far as the ra in the world, the ra in the world causes poverty. His mazel is that he should be under that mazel. That's his bad mazel. It's his bad luck, so to speak.
What was the between zechus and tefillah?
Right, tefillah. Okay, right away. We're going to discuss it. Okay. Atkan, this far is Tosfos, says the Tosfos Yontef. So now the oimer ani. So I can tell you, according to Tosfos Yisoid, I can come back and answer the question. The apparent steer in the Mishnah. The steer in the Mishnah is that the Mishnah says pray because wealth is stolen in zechus, and that's an apparent contradiction. Why do you have to pray if it's stolen in zechus? Sheleinyan kozet toilt filosoi vetzorich lo kivon shchaschus lepeomim eino mishane amazel. So you hear what Tosfos Yontef says. Since we know that sometimes the schus will not overweigh the mazel, as we said before. Remember, the Tosfos to do that there is such a thing as an inflexible mazel, and the zechus makes it inflexible. So the Mishnah is telling you, but don't give up, because tefillah may even break the inflexible mazel. You hear? Because if it's a flexible mazel, your zechus is sufficient. But if it's an inflexible mazel, the tefillah will help. You know, he goes one step further into it. Tosfos didn't say that. You understand? Tosfos didn't say that. Tosfos just to do that zechus versus mazel, sometimes zechus works, right? Wins. Sometimes mazel wins. Comes it, right? And Tosfos to do, why? Because sometimes the mazel is inflexible. Comes the Tosfos Yontef and to do, but Tosfos will admit that tefillah will help. In other words, that Gemara in Tainis
makes no sense
at all. In other words, for some reason, Rabbi Lozo, what? He refused to daven. Why didn't he daven? According to the Tosfos Yontef that he learned Pshat in the Mishnah, that in this antagonism here between Zechus and Mazel, tefillah helps, right? So how can Tosfos build from the Gemara in Tainis that the inflexible Mazel is such that Zechus doesn't work? What about tefillah? Why didn't Rabbi Lozo and Pedos pray? Because so fine, I'm not going to the lomdes of it. Perhaps the Tosfos Yontef learned that Rabbi Lozo ben Pedos didn't want to pray for money. He only wanted to make it out because I don't know. But those are the soides here that we see here that they use here. Okay. Now, the one who goes in be'ariches, that it's really, it's a whole, you know, just, you see how the Mishnahs work, right? This is the Mishnah, this is the Yontef, here the Tisferes Israel, the Yochim and the Boyaz, both. And you see this, Boyaz, four columns, all about Mazel, what Mazel is. And it's a Yesoides Dike, Tisferes Israel. Let me tell you the Yesoides behind it. Because the way he puts it, it seems that the system is very simple, right? And therefore, and he says clearly, I'll explain to you, Rosh Vetoivloi Tzadik Veraloi, and these are the principles, and that's it, and that will answer all the questions. And listen to his principles. He says like this. Number one, he says, when we are talking about mazel, he says, don't make the mistake that some people make that it means the planets. He's a rationalist. He follows the Rambam. He says, no such a thing as a planet, as the mokoim of the planet, the situation of the planet affecting a person's mazel. That's not what it means. You know what mazel really means? The word mazel has nothing to do with the word planet. That's why we call it mazolos. No. Mazel is related to the word nozel, liquid, flowing. Mazel means the flow of nature. What does it mean? There is a natural flow of nature. You are born under certain circumstances in a certain place. Chances are that you are going to grow up in a certain way because you were brought up in a certain environment, right? So that is the flow of things. You hear how he translates the word mazel? Loshen noizel is the flow of things. Except, he says, that there are different categories of mazel. Number one, he says, Yesh mazel nelom v'yesh mazel golui. Let's start with the golui, the open one. The open one is what I was telling you, right? I would call it your genetic makeup. That's obvious. Like if your parents were a certain way, if your parents were black, the chances are that you are going to be born black and your children will be born black, right? That's mazel, right? But it's mazel golui, right? But there is such a thing as mazel nelam. What is the mazel nelam? Could the omar be gemore, like the gemore says that when a child is born, machrizim, they announce in heaven, this child is going to be handsome or ugly, rich or poor. Right? That's what the gemore says. That except for tzaddik verosho, everything is announced beforehand. Right? That's what the Gemara says. Everything is announced beforehand. So that announcement beforehand is nelom. We don't know what was announced in heaven about every person. Okay? I can tell you the environmental reasons that make a person one way or another, but I can't tell you what was announced in heaven, so that we can't deal with openly. So that's called mazel nelam. So these are two categories, okay? Golui v'nelam. Then there is another distinction of mazolos, he says. There is mazel hechrechi, umazel efshari. That is already dependent on the Tosfos. Hechrechi, inflexible mazel, which means that this must follow this no matter what, is hechrechi. Right. And there is a mazel efshari. Efshari means it's probable, not possible, but probable, but it's changeable, it's flexible. Okay? Alright? So that's what you got. You have mazel nela, mazel golui, and the second subcategories are mazel efshari, mazel hechrechi. Okay? So this is one important aspect of what happens to a person. But there are other two very important aspects. Number one, hishtadlus. What about if I work harder? Well, if I work harder, the chances are I'll make more money than somebody who works less than me. That's hishtadlus. True? So that means like this. With an equal muzzle, assuming you have equal muzzle, but you have more hishtadlus than the next guy, right? You have, of course, you are going to make more money. Okay? And the third sibo is zechus. And that, you have the whole picture. This three sibois for everything that happens to a human being. It's the combination, it's the interplay of hishtadlus plus zechus plus mazel. Of course. What about if your mazel is fabulous and your zechus is very small? It could be that you are going to get more than someone whose zechus is much more, but his mazel is very small. Right? Meaning, you can never tell exactly what in the interplay of the three sibois, says the Tiferes Yisrael, what is really working. Right? But we know that those are the three sibos. Therefore, he says, pray. Why? Because the prayer, number one, can help you in your ishtadlis. Because, let's say, for instance, that you are going to be mishtadel in an area that you won't get anything out of it. For instance, a person will work very hard to plant something. But that crop will be very cheap in next season. So it's a waste of work. So I have to be mishtadel, I have to pray that my hishtadlus sheloi nigalorik, that I shouldn't work for nothing. So that's where prayer comes in. Prayer comes in that my hishtadlus should be directed to the right goal, right? And, he says, he adds, my prayer can work sometimes that the zechus should overcome the mazel. You hear, he goes one step further. The zechus sometimes can overcome the mazel, and on that, he's basing himself on the Tosfos Yontef. Okay? In other words, prayer is outside of the system. By praying, you can help your hishtadlis, and you can help that the zechus should overcome the mazel. So therefore, always pray. Okay? So, these are the principles, he says. And with these principles, everything is answered. So, Rosho v'toivloi. Right? And you know for sure that Zechuyos he doesn't have. And he did not pray. And he was not mishtadel. Easy. He had a fabulous mazel. So what have you got to ask? Tzadik v'raloi. Right? And you say he's a tzadik, enormous tzadik. His Zechuyos are enormous. He even prayed. Sure. But since there is such a thing as a mazel hechrechi, then you have no question anymore. He is just part of that mazel hechrechi. Like Rabbi Lozo ben Pedos, I mean, he was part of that mazel hechrechi, so nothing can work.
Just to understand, yeah. But doesn't it still come back to the fact that the entity that Pasuk reminds you the mazel hachreshi, tov kotov. If Kadosh Baruch Hu decides that you will be born in a certain place at a certain time, once you're born, there is the nozel, there's the flowing of nature. You're in the middle of Harlem and the party to be a moral person. But before the Neshama comes down into Harlem, somebody's put it there. So even if there's a mazel which is activated, you still come back to the form of a Kadosh Baruch Hu being the placement agency for people under bad mazalos. So you still have a problem.
All right. So what you are saying is that there is still some randomness in the system. That's what you're asking, right? You are asking that after everything is said and done, and after you have explained the system, you have established the system, you say, but the system itself accepts randomness. That's what you're telling.
Either it accepts randomness, or a Kadosh Baruch Hu is still doing something. It's either random, where Kadosh Baruch Hu is letting something happen, where either he's removed himself, and he's letting something happen, so to speak, or he's actively involved and hurting somebody good. So I still have a problem.
You see, you have to accept the second way, right? Because in other words, your first way is perhaps, right, like we were saying 2 weeks ago, ultimately it's good for Rabbi Lozor to be poor, right? So therefore, we think that it's random that he was born in that mazel, right? But really, that's great for him. So first of all, the Gemara says, "Farker." If the Gemara says, "Listen, if you want, I'll destroy the world and start all over again because, you know, I'll keep trying for you, Rabbi Lozor, I'll do anything." That's the point, right? Which means that it's true, as far as you are concerned, Rabbi Lozor, of course I can do it. Just tell me to do it and I'll do it for you, Rabbi Lozor, anything. Why can't the Baskoil answer Rabbi Lozor, Rabbi Lozor, trust me, it's good for you? Why can't the Baskoil say that? So the implication is that there is a built-in randomness. Do you understand what I'm telling you? Which means, if there is no built-in randomness, and it's just a chesorn in our real understanding of what's going on, and even that, what he calls the mazel ne'elam, has a reason, why can't he tell him, trust me, Rabbi Lozor? Right? Unless you say, oh, that's what it means in America. But that's already doich. That's already doich.
It seems that it's not tzaddik v'ra'le. There's certain neshamas that it's going to be ra, it's going to be tayv, and later they decide themselves it'll be tzaddik or rasha, but it's not actually tzaddik v'ra'le. So this particular neshama has a bad mazel.
You're right, but that means that he's becoming a tzaddik, right? He's becoming a tzaddik will not, in certain situations, will not affect his established mazel. No matter how great a tzaddik he will become, it will not shake the mazel. Which is an amazing thing. Right? That means that there is randomness. You were born under the wrong signs, or you know, under the wrong noizel or whatever, and then the mazel ne'elam. So therefore, too bad for you, Rabbi Lozor. I can't help you. Yeah.
How does this connect with the Rav's quote last 2 weeks ago? The personal responsibility that Tzadik Rabbi, that we have to blame. You know, all the source of all chatayim is Adam Rishon. And therefore we have to take responsibility for our mistakes, and therefore whatever happens to us, we have to be responsible for. And here, no matter how much responsibility I take for myself, I'm still going to be left with the rotten peanut. So why should I try? You just throw in the towel and go home. Any person who has difficulty,
exactly.
And go home.
But good, so his point is, keep trying because you never know. That's his point. Meaning, you can only say that my trying was futile only in retrospect. You understand? Which means, Koidem HaMaisa, you never know, because maybe my mazel was for 30 years to be poor and for 50 years to be wealthy. It could be, meaning a mazel doesn't mean that he's going to be poor forever. The mazel could be itself, that for first 30 years of his life he'll be poor. The next 50 years of his life will be very wealthy. That's part of his mazel, right? So you never know. So therefore, when you pray, when you are 20 years old, maybe you'll get a five extra years of wealth. You never know. What you must say is, after you know for sure that you are a tzaddik gomur, and you prayed to the maximum, and still you were poor till you were 30 years old, then you say in retrospect, oh, it was a waste, because really, it was the mazel anyway. But before, koidem amaisa, you never know. So you are right. If you would be able to foresee, in Ochinami, you can't do anything anyway. Right? But you can't foresee. Right?
I don't understand something, but
Can't some of this be explained to what the Rav said the last time about Sod HaGilgul? So far as this could be the source, I don't know, maybe there's a connection here between a person's mazel, Efreiti, and his and the Sod HaGilgul?
Okay, so in reality, you see, the Tiferet Yisrael is a rationalist, you see. He follows the Rambam, you know, because even his rejection, his strong rejection, you should see his loshen, like the fools who believe in astrology, he says. I mean, that's the Rambam. That's pure. What?
He's working with the Ralbag and the Rambam and the Hashkacha Kloli sort of approach, where Hashkacha Kloli isn't really a, except maybe to fill it might affect something somewhere else, but as a direct intervention in a person's life, there's a Hashkacha Kloli that sort of keeps things going. But there's no real individual intervention.
No, there is. But even the Hashgacha Protis has to deal with a mazel. Yeah. Even that Hashgacha Protis, Kaviyochol the Ribbono Shel Olam alone has to deal with the mazel.
And what is the purpose of this type of system? In other words, right, you set up this scenario, what is it, when you have a system of Hashgacha Protis?
Right, I hear. I mean, the question, that's very valid, right? But do you sense that they are all saying that there is a built-in randomness? Now, by the way, this statement, where the, in Shabbos, Lamed Beis, there is that, I'm sorry, this is a Toisves in Nido. The Toisves in Nido, Toisves Nido Tezayin. Toisves Nido Tezayin says openly like this. It says like, what about this, you know, the Melech, Cheskioa Melech, right? He was told beforehand that his son will be a Rosha, right? Son will be a Rosha. So he says, well, so that it was set up. I mean, you know, so it was all destined. So it was all destined. So if so, how can it say Hakol Bidei Shomayim, Chutz Meira Shomayim? Sure, everything is destined. But whether a person is going to be a Rosha or not, that is not destined. True? So how can it be that Cheskio Amele was told that he's going to have a son, a Rosho? What do you mean? To have a son, a Rosho, that should be completely up to him. Let's first discuss it. Tosis answers two theories. First theory. Well, that wasn't a statement of destiny, but a prediction of the future. There is no Gemara Nido, because like the words over there. Is there Gemara Nido? Yeah? Yeah. Oh, the lotion is so amazing, you know. Listen to this answer. Vieshloimar. Dehero mashe osid liyois. Here. How does it answer? It was a prediction, not a destiny. So therefore it's no kashe. Which means, what? That's a very difficult thesis, by the way. But what thesis really means is that a prediction can always change, because that's the famous yesoid, that every nevius, every prediction for evil is never guaranteed. You know, that's a klali nevue. Every prediction for something bad is never a nevue. It's always a conditional nevue. You can always change that. Right? Every prediction for good, that's a guarantee. That's a real prophecy. So therefore, don't be surprised that a novi tells you there is going to be a melchemes goy gomogoy, and there is not going to be a melchemes goy gomogoy. Right? There is a Shem Yishmu, a famous Shem Yishmu that says, I heard from my rabbein that it will never happen. The Jews suffered enough. You hear? The whole Melchemes Gog Magog described in Sefer Yecheskel, he says, I heard from my rabbein, it will never happen. Right? What? Did you suffer? So what's Shat? It's not a prophecy, but it's a prophecy for something bad. Something that doesn't have to happen, it's only a warning. So that's what this means. You hear? It's a prediction. Since it's only a prediction, therefore it can change. So therefore it's not destiny. Okay, that's one teretz. But listen to the second teretz. The second teretz is like this. The oi, the harbet vorim toluy bemazel. You're the kashe. The kashe was, how can Cheskio be told that his son will be a Rosha. He says, well, that's Tola B'mazel, he says. Kedoma B'shili Shabbos. Mandi Siolit B'tzedek, if you are born under the influence of a certain planet, so then you are going to be a tzadkin b'mitzvahs, you are going to be a tzadik. And if you are born in Shabbos, you are going to have Kedusha, he says. V'chein, I'll prove to you that there is such a thing as a mazel telling you if you are going to be good or bad. Kede Omar Kaldoi Le'ime de Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, a certain, Kaldoi, a magician or whatever it is, told the mother of Rav Yitzchok, Bereich Ganvo Lihave, your son will be a thief. Here. So, what does it mean? Aya kol bidei shomayim chutz meira shomayim.
Where's this going?
V'chein hod amir kaldoi. This is the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Numvo.
Why not say it's talking about tchonas hanafesh and not the sahajah?
Good. But you see, the Toisus doesn't learn that way, that it's just something that you can overcome. I mean, the army portion will learn that way. By the way, this Nagia, the Gemara in Megillah, the Gabe, kom rove v'shochte l'rab zero. Right? Kom rove v'shochte l'rab zero, because rove was mazel ma'adim. He was under the influence of Mars, which is red, which is blood, right? So it says there that if you are from Mazel Madim, you better become a Sheiched or a Moyel. Because, like you said, the Tchunas HaNefesh are going to be related to blood, so you better become a Sheiched or a Moyel, right? So Rove, it says that Rove was from Mazel Madim, so Kom Rove Shoftel Rav Zero. So there is such a thing, but Toisus doesn't learn that way. Toisus learns that Ganve means Ganve, and if the Mazel says you're going to be a Ganef, nothing is going to change it. Like the Tiferes Yisrael says, it's a mazel hamachriach. Yeah. It has nothing to, it's not the decision of God. You hear the implication here. Hakol bidei shomayim chutz meira shomayim, it means that God doesn't intervene on whether a person is going to be a tzaddik or not. But the mazel will definitely intervene. I don't know if you realize how incredibly shocking this statement is. You hear? Hakol bidei shomayim, heaven will not intervene in yira shomayim whether you're a tzaddik or a roshe. But mazel will definitely interfere, so therefore you can tell Menashe is going to be a roshe. The son of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok is going to be a gane. Amazing, amazing. But listen to the ending of Toisves, and Toisves says it clearly. Now, there are two girsois at the end of Toisves. I'm reading the Maram's girsa here. Ve'ein ze bidei shomayim. Mazel has nothing to do with bidei shomayim. You remember your question whether maybe mazel itself is part of the plan? No. Ve'ein ze bidei shomayim. Ke'ein ha-kodosh baruch hu roitze leshanois hiluch ha-mazolois. That's open already. Here. Ein ha-kodosh baruch hu roitze leshanois hiluch ha-mazolois. So it means that kaviyochol, Hashem tied his own hands, right? Through the creation of the system of mazolois. So what is the system of a mazolois? A random system. Clear?
Isn't that much more, a little bit that it's the year talking about planets and stars?
Again?
Of course.
I mean, that's not the only place where it's much more pretty clear that's planet and stars. I just want to tell you, since you mentioned it, of course, many people understand it literally. And from the Gemoras, you see, there are Gemoras who say that. That's, we're talking about planets and stars. So, I must tell you this because it's such a shocking statement. He quotes in the middle, he says, and don't be misled by all the chazal that seem to tell you otherwise. Right? He says, don't be misled by it, he says. Why? Because, he says, I have to find this. Ukvar yodato, you know, mashekosav hara avan, the boyas. Boyas. Besifroi maimar haseichal. Shemi sheyamin shehagodoy shebishas hen kipshuton, somebody who believes in the literal meaning of a godoy shebishas, who sechel gomur the otum hasechel. Pretty sharp philosophy. So don't bother me. What? Sechel, with a samach. Sechel, right? Gomur the otum hasechel with a sin. In other words, no sechel whatsoever. He's dumb. Right? So this, right? Meaning, don't bother me with Chazal who seem to say otherwise, because you can't take those Chazal and keep shooting. Very sharp statement. What? Okay. I mean, this Bedavka is very interesting. In the Hagdom of the Marsho, you know, in Broches there is the Hagdom of the Marsho, and in the Hagdom of the Marsho, he screams at those who take Hagodes Chazal and they say, well, this one I don't like, so I'll make it into a metaphor. This one I like, so I'll accept it. But you can't just reject Hagodes Chazal. The exact opposite of what he's saying. I mean, it's, of course, because what he's saying is very, very dangerous. On the other hand, he has to be right too. I mean, there are Chazal which can be taken kipshuton, right? I mean, there are statements in the Torah that can be taken kipshuton, right? Al kanfei neshorim, right? That's what it means. The Ribbono Shel Olam took us out, Al kanfei neshorim. But it's a moshul. So they are moshulim. But in any case, when you say, isn't it mashma? Sure, it's mashma from a lot of places that mazel means planets, right? But he says, don't bother me with the pshuton shel chazal, because I'm telling you that it means something else, right? And by the way, I mean, that's a doa bifnei yatzmoy. I mean, I would put it in parentheses. We find very often, and you see in other places, that Chazal would use a concept accepted at the time to teach you something emes, even though the concept itself was sheker. You hear? You know what I'm saying? Meaning, they'll use a concept, and the concept may be sheker, but Chazal don't care. Because what they are interested is to teach you the yesoid. And the yesoid is taught through that concept. So, since the concept is accepted, so they use that concept. Do you have any sophic, for instance, that, you know, the Rambam's famous yesoid, that there are no shading? Shading don't exist, right? What about if the Gemara says that if somebody says, "Tnu get li ishti," and blah, 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 b'choshesh, maybe he's a shed, right? Obviously, what the Gemara is saying, according to the beliefs of nowadays, that people believe in shading, call it a shed. Of course, what we mean is maybe somebody's faking the husband's voice. But why should we go into the details? Since you dummies, you believe in shadim, right? The masses believe in shadim, so why shouldn't you use something that you believe anyway, right? In order that the halacha should be accepted. Meaning, whether I call it shade or I call it something else is irrelevant. This is another perfect example. They would say the emes in halacha using a yesoid, a principle that was the accepted principle. You know what I'm saying? In other words, if you find places that Chazal tell you that the sun goes around the earth, right? And you're going to be shocked. How can it be? It's not emes. You know, it's not emes. So what if it's not emes? If the yesoid in the halacha is emes, right? The fact that they are using information that was the accepted information at the time doesn't take away anything. What should they use? Information that wasn't known at the time. Obviously, they have to use information that was known at the time. It's not emes? Of course. Scientific information always will become not emes after a few hundred years, right? You think that everything we believe as absolute scientific truth will be so in another 100 years? Compare what we believed as scientific truth 10 years ago and what we believe today. Many things already changed, right? So therefore what? But we must use concepts which are the acceptable concepts of today. So therefore it's not so difficult what he's saying. That even though from all the Chazal it's mashma that we are talking about the influences of the stars, right? But what else should Chazal tell you? Remember, we were living in an era that people believed in astrology, right? So instead of telling you the details, no, this is ashtus and that's not ashtus, so they tell you the yesoid that there is such a thing as mazel. In your mind, you'll associate it with astrology, which is the accepted belief of the era. Shol hishkifelach, not terrible. There's even more. Again, this is a parenthesis, but it's so important, I must tell you this. There's a Meir in Psochim. Very important Meir in Psochim. Legabe disinyoni. Why Chazal very often didn't fight wrong opinions? Yeah? That's what you're talking about. Why didn't Chazal say, no, that's a lie? So the Meiri says, well, I mean, they would have to uproot so many wrong ideas that they had to decide what yes and what not. You can't fight everything. You have to create a scale of values. So all those things which are associated with Darkei HaEmori, with Avodah Zarah, those opinions they fought. All those things that they felt, well, you want to believe in it? Go ahead. I mean, it's not a dangerous belief. It's just a wrong belief. So they didn't fight it.
What is
Psochim? It's in the last Perekuf, field around the Gemara. Did anybody learn Harei Psochim? Remember the Agadate over there by the belief in even and odd numbers? That if you eat uneven numbers of food, it will damage you. Right? That's what the Gemara says. So somebody came into a restaurant, he ate one portion, another portion, and he got sick. So somebody says, bring a third portion. That's the Gemara over there. I can't remember exactly, the Kufyus, around there. And then it says in the Gemara, and he became well. Says the Gemara the following statement. If you believe that
Even numbers will harm you. I shinolei, in other words, you are supposed to worry, even though you don't believe in it. But if he believes in it, then you have to worry about him and give him a third portion. You can't say, but it's a shtus. No, because he believes in it. Give him a third portion. Mishe eino choishes, if you don't believe in it, lo ichai shinolei, you don't have to worry because it doesn't work. Says the Meiri, Imamish describes a psychosomatic illness. He says, if you believe in it, it will actually harm you. Because if you believe in something strong enough that something will harm you, it will harm you. He's actually describing a psychosomatic illness. So that's what he says. But since the Chazal, of course, are hinting that it's wrong, why don't they tell you Tashtus? So that's where he says it. Because the Chazal weren't out to uproot every Shtus that every single Jew believed in. Right? Because it would be an impossible job, an endless, infinite job. So they had to make a line, what yes and what not. So all those that are connected with Darkei Hoemoiri, Chukoi Soakum, Avoy Dezore, that they fought. All those things that are Stam Shtuyot. It's good, you want to be a Shtuyot, why not? I mean, but, you know, we can't fight everything. The same Yitzhoy. In other words, Yitzhoy is what I'm telling you. In other words, Chazal will use, right? Chaval, you know, this shouldn't be a recorded, because it's a very, very dangerous statement that I'm telling you now. But this is what he means, there's no question about it, this is what he means. That sometimes Chazal will tell you things that were accepted at that time in order to teach you something which is emes, even though the people at the time will have the wrong ideas. But it doesn't matter because the Yisoid is still emes, Mazel is still emes. The Mazel in their minds is not the Mazel of Chazal, but that's your problem, that's not Chazal's problem. Right? So therefore, that's what he says, don't rely on the Pshuton Shel Divrei Chazal. Okay, so that's just a parenthesis, just to tell you that don't... That it doesn't bother him, the fact that from all the Chazal that are mashma, the stars, that Avraham Avinu were shown the stars, right? And he says, no, the Jews are beyond those stars, are outside of the system of the stars. Implication, but the system of the stars works, right? It's a Klorin Medrash that says that stars work. So he said, don't worry about that. I mean, that was a Medrash that was trying to use a belief at the time. Right.
The best thing that what the Chazal knew that it wasn't true, and they absolutely say that there was something revolves around the earth. They said that because that's the lesson of the Bnei Adam at that time, and that's what they accept. But are they saying implicitly that Chazal knew better, or it makes no sense?
I'm not sure. My intuition would be, you know, they knew better. Mm-hmm. Because if they knew everything which is emes, how can something which is sheker, you know, just fit into that system? Could be not. I mean, I'm not 100% sure. It could be either way. It could be that the Chachomim thought it was irrelevant. If it's not Negev Lehaloches, what is the relevance of it? So the sun goes around the earth, or it might not mean it. Legabe, what are we talking about? Maim Shelono, that you have to let the water that you use for matzah stay overnight because of something which happens between the sun and the earth. Right? So how will they explain it to you? According to the information that they don't have. Obviously, they have to explain to you the Haloche according to the information that they do have. It's not MS information. But the halachic outcome is emes. You have to let the water stay overnight. Let's look at that. The Gemara and Shochet talks about.
What about things that, let's say, that, you know, that we know that it says it's mazik. You put on, sleep under, put under your bed. So then you're not supposed to eat that food. So,
well, those are straight statements. I mean, remember. I mean, there is such a thing. You know, Toshu Simoit Kotin says nishtanu hativi. Right? And the Ramban says that there was a time that Aisha nido, right? When she would walk over grass, it would just dry up. Right? So there is such a thing as nishtanu hativi. Those are straightforward statements. I mean, there is a straightforward statement you can. I mean, if they tell you a fact, that means that fact existed. They're not telling you a theory. When they tell you why the water cools off during the night and if you take it in the morning it will be warmer, then they have to tell you a reason which is accepted by the science of the time. But if they tell you chlor, if you sleep on food, it will get rachatum. They're telling you a fact. I mean, that they can be lying.
No, the Chazal would say, if you do the following things, you will see shade. It's a Gemara and Brachas. If you do the following things, yeah. you will see shade.
Right.
Now, if we're going to say that al halacha, that the principle remains intact,
right.
I understand it. But the minute you move into Agaritas, where the principles are at best unclear,
yeah.
then. Why didn't that just steady the fact to me? Shading the
absolutely
you want
not,
to see
because
them?
There is no halachic implication, right, on whether you have to take a white cat or a black cat.
There's no halachic implication. There's no
isser
in eating food that's under a bed. It's
mazik. Well, it's an isser. That's an isser. Kasakant es chamir misur. That's mamish an isser. And if you give it to somebody else, it's an isser. It's mamish an isser. It's not true what you're saying. What? Sure, it's mamish an isser. That's not true what you're saying. That's mamish an isser.
So how's that fitting with the Rambam saying there's no shading?
Why? So again, you see. For instance, yeah, you see, for instance, the way they approach. I'm not saying I never saw the Maharal on that Gemara, on that Gemara in Brachos, but I wouldn't be surprised that somebody like the Maharal would say, you know what it really means? You know what a cat means? You know, because the Gemara says, take a cat, right? A black cat who gave birth to another black cat, and then burn it, and then take the ashes, put it in your eye, you know? And then, so what is that? So he'll tell you what is the symbolism of the cat, what it means. And what is the idea of the firstborn? And what is the symbolism of the black cat? And then it will come out. It has nothing to do with shading. Those are just symbols for something else. Those are what agalites are. Now, if it would be halacha lemaise, there is no way that you can squeeze out something from the halacha, like that statement. If they tell you it's tume, it's mazik, there is nothing you can do about it. If they tell you how to see shading, they're telling you something else. They are telling you something else in code form. Right? That means that it was some kind of an ideological experience, right? That if you are not ready for it, you are going to be nizak. That's all it means. It was some kind of a spiritual experience that has to do with the symbolisms of it, but it is not. According to the Rambam, of course that's what it means. Okay? That's another side. Now, let me just tell you something. So, on the surface, I mean, the way he makes it sound, he says, well, just take any Gemara, and any Gemara you can squeeze to fit into the system. That's it. But in reality, it's so difficult. There are certain Gemaras that are... There's nothing you can... I mean, how are you going to squeeze it? How are you going to squeeze the Gemara, really, by Rabbi Elazar, for instance? Right? I mean, after all is said and done, he also admits that you should pray. Right? So was it shot that Rabbi Elazar wasn't taught to pray?